They have 70 people now, and he's hoping as they get into July that it'll be completely open, and they're hoping to have youth camp in August, and the border has not opened up yet. Hey, I should have asked y'all to pray for me. I'm having some kind of issue with something in my mouth, and I had a reaction to some medicine that I took, so they're changing my medicine and stuff like that. I tell you, some of the byproducts of taking medicine are worse than the disease that you take. Amen. So anyway, getting old is not a whole lot of fun. So enjoy your youth, okay? And I know you think, I'll never get old. I'll never be as fat and ugly as him. You will be. Yes, you will. Okay, John 15. Lord, we sure I thought a dog got in her head. Lord, we sure love you and thank you for this beautiful, beautiful building you let us use. Lord, we want to use it for you. We have dedicated it to you. When we meet together, we don't want it to just be a social club. We want the God's business to be taken care of. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless now as we open your book. In Jesus' name, amen. John 15, I'm going to do some backing up because the last time we did this was the middle of May. This is the whole book is a good book. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, guys, those that don't have any fruit in their life, God is going to cut them off. When you say cut them off, you say, what do you mean? Well, I don't know all the ramifications of that, but I'll tell you what, he'll withdraw his grace from somebody that's not bearing fruit from him. And then those people that don't have the grace of God, they're gonna start believing lies. They're going to start believing. Listen, all of us probably know somebody that's as saved as we are but have not been in church. They're backslid, and they're believing what the world is telling them. So what is that? That's God withdrawing his grace and them getting into darkness. And then what happens is, you know, you think on the things of the world enough, you don't have that living word working in your heart and mind, you're going to get a reprobate spirit. You won't know what's right. You'll think sin is okay and all that kind of business. No, so then what does he do? Well, if you bear fruit, he's happy, but he wants you to bear more fruit. So he purges. Now, purging, that is not a positive thing. That is a negative thing. You got some dead limbs in you he wants to cut off. Yeah, we need to do some spiritual surgery, amen, and cut some things out that is hindering us from bearing fruit. So the Holy Ghost, he convicts us. The Holy Ghost wants to purge, get that dross we were preaching about the other day out of our life, okay? He will use the Word of God. He will challenge us to make decisions by faith in the Word of God. And he will also bring trials and have us to bear that cross for him. Why? So we can be more fruitful in the works of holiness and righteousness. That book, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses us from all sin. That Bible is the water of the Word of God. It will wash us. I cannot impress. Listen to me, as your pastor, I have tried to get you to read your Bible. I have not tried to get you to read X number of pages every day, tell you you're a sorry, no good somebody if you only read this and if you do. I just want you to read some Bible every day. It will help you. You will agree with my preaching more. Because I preach the Bible. Okay? And so, verse 3. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Can I share something with you? Okay, listen. There's stages in our Christian life, right? Okay? Joshua, he can try all he wants to try, but he's only 17 years old. He can try to be 45, but he's not going to be 45. I just listened to an old message by Brother Roloff. He preached that message in 1981 or 1982, right before he died in that plane crash. Brother Roloff was 68 years old in 1982. In 1982, I was 60, 70. I wasn't even 30 years old yet, okay? And I had got saved when I was 23. in his message, he said this. He said about memorize. He tried to encourage people to memorize one chapter of the Bible every 30 days. That's pretty good. Anyway, this is what he said. He said, I don't have time to read anything else. He said, that Bible. Now, he's 68 years old. He's up to here in the ministry with all those homes and everything. I'm 30 years old, 29 years old, you know, maybe 7 years old in the Lord. I've read commentaries. I've read history books. I've read novels. I listen to radio stations like talk radio stations, sports talk radio stations in those days, okay? Are y'all with me? Today, 40 years later, I don't listen to talk radio. Amen. I don't read a whole lot of other books. I read books, but not like I used to. I am more emphasized on the Bible. Amen. If I'm not listening to the Bible in the car traveling by myself, I'm listening to preaching. I said, what is that? The closer you get to going home, buddy, you want to be right. Amen. When he comes back, I mean, I got one chance to be right if he raptures me out of here. I don't want to be having words with Mrs. Keenan. I don't want to have some unconfessed sin in my heart. I don't want to have a visit that I should have made that I didn't make. Are y'all with me? I want everything to be right by the grace of God. So what I'm telling you is there's maturity. Okay? Don't look at somebody that's a whole lot older and mature than you and think overnight you can get there. That is not going to happen. You have to have your growing process in the Lord. Things that God deals with me about or my wife about, he's not going to deal with you about that. There's other things in your life that he's going to deal about. Am I making any sense here? Let him do the pruning in your life. That will bring forth more fruit in your life. Verse 4, abide in me. Abide means to rest, to dwell, to stay with, to continue, to remain. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I just want to encourage you. You want to try to have a walk in the Spirit so that whatever you do for the Lord, I said whatever it is, that it's done in the Spirit and the Lord can bless it. Now, you listen to me. We can do a lot in the flesh and be real proud of ourselves of doing it in the flesh, but that which is in the flesh cannot please the Lord. Amen. June 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Who establishes who is a disciple and who is not a disciple? The Lord does. Amen. The Lord says, there's no fruit in your life. You are not a disciple. I want to show you something. I showed you this before, but I'm going to show it to you again. Go with me to, right there in John. Go to chapter 8, verse 31. Chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You with me? Who set that standard? The Lord did. Amen. Okay, so you don't stay with God. You don't stay in the word of God. You don't stay with the church. You're not a disciple. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you're not a disciple. I didn't say that, though. The Lord said it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I think it's a privilege to be saved. I think it's a privilege to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, I do. I am not looking for the world to tell me I'm doing a good job. I'm not looking for the world to agree with me or pat me on the back. In fact, I am looking for the world to go against me in every way I try to serve the Lord. Every way. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What did the Lord say unto his disciples? If any man will come, you got to pick up your cross. Look at Luke chapter 14. What I'm trying to impress upon you is that it's not what you think about being a disciple. It's what God says about being a disciple. Amen. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. The Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he what? He cannot. God. Now, I didn't say that. God said, you cannot be my disciple if you put your family ahead of me. Amen. Is that what he's saying? Yep. That's what he's saying. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So you don't pick up your cross every day. You don't follow the Lord every day. He says what? You can't be my disciple. I didn't say that, guys. Don't get mad at the preacher for preaching the Bible. Look at verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, and you know the rest of the story. Three times, look at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. The first part, he says you can't be my disciple if your heart's not right. Hate not your father and mother. In the second one, verse 27, it's your conduct, how you live as a Christian. And in the third, it's your possessions. How many of these possessions are you taking home to heaven? You ain't taking nothing. And yet, God's people can fall in love and put possessions ahead of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. This is a beautiful building. I love it. And I'm going to use it. But I'm not worshiping it. I'm surely not putting this ahead of the Word of God. And listen to me. If we start bringing kids in this building and kids start coloring on the walls and, you know, spilling juice here and there, we're not cutting out children's ministries because of it. We'll repaint the walls, we'll wash the carpets, and we'll just do it again. Are we okay? There's some people get all bent. Kids are tearing up the church. What do you expect kids to do that come in from the world? We got church kids that do it, for crying out loud, of course. Are y'all with me? Okay, so I'm back in John 15. John 15, verse 9. This is a great verse. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of greatness and truth in that verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. You talk about, it's hard for me to put it into words, okay? There's great truth in that. There's greatness in the thought that Jesus Christ loves you and I as much as the Father loves Jesus Christ. That's God the Father loving God the Son. Well, you can understand God the Father loving God the Son. He's perfect. He's eternal. He's pure. He's righteous. He's holy. That's not you and me. As truly and as sincerely as God the Father loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how the Lord loves us. Guys, I think it is a human thing that we think that when we do wrong, that the Lord doesn't love us. Well, that's not true. Nothing could be further from the truth. Our Father's love for us is not an up and down graph. His love, it's just the same all the time. This is what Matthew Poole said about that verse. He said, the Father's love to the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal, immutable, constant, full, perfect, wise, and just, and free. In all these respects, Christ loves his people as the Father loves him. Now here's the kicker. This ought to move us to love him and walk as he would have us to walk. One of the greatest tragedies in anybody's life is unrequited love. I have, over the years, counseled people that have gotten divorces and split up. One is loving the other one doesn't love the other one, anyone. And the brokenness of the one that is loving, but that love is not requited. Unless you go through that, you never really know what that is. And I think when you talk about how much the Lord loves us, and then worms like us will love this or that or him or her more than we love the Lord. That's a tragedy for how much he has loved us. It says there in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look at chapter 14, verse 15. In chapter 14, verse 15, the Bible says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Poole said it this way. He said, the truth of our love to Christ is obedience to the commandments of Christ. It is the only way to show and declare our love. We throw that word, I love the Lord, around pretty loosely. Sometimes when we're in direct rebellion against something he told us to do or not to do. Are y'all with me? I was reading this commentary. The word love, L-O-V-E, in the Gospel of Matthew, it's mentioned 13 times. In the Gospel of Mark, it's mentioned 7 times. In the Gospel of Luke, it's mentioned 15 times. In the Gospel of John, it's mentioned 57 times. In the Epistle of 1 John, which has how many chapters? 5. 46 times. 2 John, 4 times. 3 John, 2 times. Revelation, 6 times. We often refer to the Apostle John as the Apostle of love. Well, you know what John did? He practiced it. He practiced it. You remember at the Last Supper, the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me. And all the apostles said, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Right? No. All the apostles said, is it I? And John said, who is it? Because he knew what? It wasn't him. Now, there's a lot of depth to that. John practiced what he was writing about, and the Lord chose him to do it by the grace of God. Okay, guys, I can't. Listen to me. A pastor's job is to preach and teach the Word of God and then set an example for you to follow. Okay? My job is not to make you obey the Bible. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I can make people obey the Bible, but that does not honor the Lord. And that's really not my job. Are you with me? You hear me quote the verse a lot, okay? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want everyone in our church to have the liberty of God working in their heart. Them knowing it was God working in their heart through preaching, through reading, through somebody's example. And then they decide, I want to do that. That honors the Lord. Not me cracking a whip and making you. Are you with me? But I know this. I know you obeying that book is better for you. I know you getting closer to the Lord is better for you. I can't make you experience it. That's something you have to experience on your own. When a pastor sees somebody, it's almost like the light goes on and they start growing in the Lord. They start having their devotions and their devotions mean something to them. They start making some decisions in their life and they're real meaningful decisions. Buddy, there's no greater joy. John said there's no greater joy than to see his children, you know, walking in truth. Well, you are my children, quote, unquote, as far as pastor and everything. And to see you, the people, start growing in the Lord is just a tremendous thing. I don't want to hinder you, but I do want to show you the right way. And there's no shortcuts. You know what I'm saying? So the Bible goes on, and I like the joy. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You are never going to find a backslid child of God that has the joy of the Lord. Amen. Never. It's not going to happen. The people who have the joy of the Lord are the disciples that are walking with the Lord, because it's his joy in them fulfilling their joy. What greater joy could we have than do something for the Lord? Amen? Amen? I mean, you know, Erica and Peter, they wanted me to preach at their... Because they knew that there's going to be lost people there. That was not the first time those lost people heard that. But those kids wanted to honor the Lord in their courtship, in their wedding, in their ceremony, in everything. And people, listen to me, okay? We take all this stuff for granted because this is all we know. But a lot of those, they were never in a wedding. Are you kidding me? A wedding like that? No, 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 no. There is way too much God, way too much Bible, way too much of that stuff. And there was even some cracking up, funny stuff, you know. Bible goes on. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, man. I mean, the Lord puts down some pretty difficult things there, isn't it? I mean, there's some pretty weird saved people. Say amen. We got weird ones sitting right here. We got a weird one behind the pulpit. He didn't say pick out the ones you want to love. He said to love one another. When you love somebody, you are not going to talk bad about them. Guys, you know, sometimes some things lost people told me, there's a lot of truth in it. My mother used to tell me, when I used to gripe and complain, she said, Michael, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. She'd shut me up. If you can't find anything good to say, don't find something bad to say. Just shut up. Shut up. Philadelphia, shut up. Y'all with me? Our Lord showed his love to the Father by how? Fulfilling his will, his every counsel. Look at John 8, verse 29. John chapter 8, verse 29. John 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You know, guys, the more you read those Gospels, who can point me out anything that the Lord did purely for himself? Everything was about fulfilling the Father's will. Amen. And getting him where? To Calvary. Amen. I mean, he set his face like a flint to fulfill the Father's will, do always those things that please the Father. And listen, I don't completely understand this, but that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, set his glory aside and lowered himself lower than the angels. So when you hurt, when you have heartache, when you have temptation, when you have problems, our Lord tasted every bit of that for us in the flesh. Now, no sinful nature, agreed, but still in the weakness of the flesh. He cried at Lazarus's tomb. He fell asleep in the back of the ship. He got hungry. Are y'all with me? He had one of his close disciples, apostles, 3.5 years, turn him in for 30 pieces of silver. There's nothing that you will go through that the Lord did not go through. He just went through it victoriously without yielding to temptation. Back in John 15. We should love one another. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How much time do I got here? Okay. This is my commandment. Verse 12. I keep getting this thought, so I'm just going to have to run it. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Isn't that a blessing? Well, let me give you another one. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, we're supposed to love one another the way Christ loved us. We're supposed to love our wives the way Christ loved us. That's a pretty high and a tall order for a carnal, self-centered, proud man. Amen. Tim, you look like you're in pain there. You're not even married yet, man. I just want to say that in a marriage relationship, okay, it's supposed to magnify the relationship between Christ and the church. We should want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, you know, the culture that we are living in, they want to make men and women equal, whatever that means. I don't even know what all that means. How can they say men and women are equal when they're not equal?
Amen.
They're not equal.
Amen.
We need to honor that book. We husbands should treat our wives in the same manner that the Lord treats us. We're supposed to love them. How we're supposed to love them unconditionally. When has the Lord ever been ugly to you, like prodding you with an ox goad? He'll prick your heart with conviction, but he's not ugly to us. Are you with me? And yet men behind closed doors to their wives call them all sorts of names, belittle them, criticize them, etc., etc. That is not loving a woman like Jesus loves the church. I don't know about you, but I was in Ruth doing a little bit of studying just because I like the book of Ruth. And Boaz said to his reapers, what? Drop some handfuls of purpose. Does he drop handfuls of purpose? Well, you know what I could do? I could say, you know what you guys ought to do? You guys ought to get your wives flowers. And not just on your, not on her birthday and her anniversary. Just surprise her with flowers. And then some of you guys would come home and say, hey, babe, I've robbed the graveyard. I mean, I stopped and got some flowers.
Wow.
Well, when you don't have any money, gee, sometimes it's okay. And then you go, and I give her flowers, and she goes, oh, because your wife doesn't like flowers. Do you know women are allowed to have different likes and dislikes?
Amen.
You could. I remember a preacher said about bringing your wife candy bars home. So I started. I'm thinking candy bars. Yeah, I love candy bars. So I got her Snickers because I love Snickers, and I'd give her these Snickers bars, and she didn't like Snickers. Oh, man, here I am being a good husband. She's not even appreciating me being a good husband.
Amen.
He hasn't said amen. He hasn't said amen all night. Well, that's because they're not all the same. And so a Christ-like husband will find out what it is that his wife likes, whatever that may be, and that will be the handfuls on purpose. Am I making any sense here? But if the only time, guys, I have heard it all. I had one preacher, he said that he told his wife on their wedding day that he loved her and that if anything changed, he'd let her know. Well, that is just pure stupid, okay? You ought to tell you. But here's the thing. If you don't act like you love her, but you tell her you love her, you're just kindling bitterness in her heart. Because she's thinking, oh, yeah, he's telling me he loves me, but he doesn't treat me like he loves me. Does the Lord treat us like he loves us? How good is he to us? I don't know about y'all, but forgive me. I have not gotten over the miracle of EPA giving us permission to get into this building. That's a miracle. I tell everybody it's a miracle. Everywhere I go, they know that we're trying to get in here. And then when I go in there, you know, they're just being polite, but they're being polite. And they ask me, did you get in? I said, oh, let me tell you. And you can see it on their face. Oh, boy. But I tell them anyway. I said, the Lord did a miracle. I said, no, it's not nice. It's a miracle. And I'm telling you, it's not just circumstances. It's a miracle what the Lord did. They're pretty convinced it's a miracle when I get out of there. I want to brag on him. Okay, so I said that, okay, we are supposed to love one another. So that means I should love Tim Clare like Jesus loves the church. Is that right? So I should be kind to him. I should not talk bad about him. I should work at getting along with him, as hard as that is. Okay? Well, I'm supposed to love my wife like Jesus loves the church. That's a self-sacrificing life. Men want to be the poobah. Men want the wife to serve them hand and foot. Right? And listen to me. You wives should want to do that. Why? I want to wait on the Lord hand and foot. Are you with me? But because I love him, I want to do it. She wants to do it for me. I want to do it for her. It's self-sacrificing. How many times has your wife heard, I don't want to do that? Well, buddy, maybe she wants to do that. And maybe she should get the impression that you love her so much that you are going to love doing that. This is a time to say amen, Dan. Oh, yeah, there you go. Are we okay? That doesn't happen overnight, and there's no pills that you can buy on the internet that will help you do it. Oh, yeah, I got an advertisement the other day. Take this pill, lose 32 pounds in 10 days. Really? How gullible is America? Okay, now follow with me in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Okay, can I say this? Surely, you're not going to die for someone that you won't live for. I'd die for the Lord. Well, how about just living for him?
Amen.
I mean, every day, every day. Did you ever think about this? When you are dead, your plans end.
Amen.
It's over. Your life is over. Is that right?
Yeah.
So when someone chooses to give all this up for the benefit of somebody else, you have an example of the greatest love that there is. Okay, I don't know what anybody else has gone through. I know what I went through. I got saved, okay? Guys, I don't know how to put this in fancy words, but your past should not be an excuse for you to be a sorry excuse of a human being. And I understand some people have bad past, tough situations, okay? But that shouldn't be an excuse. My mom and dad did not have the greatest marriage in the world. My brothers and sisters, we did not get along. I mean, like, you know, my three sons or whatever that was, you know. But I tell you, that day I got saved, buddy, the Lord God moved in and he changed me. And I thank God for that little Baptist church that I went to, that preacher preached, and I got some help. And I thank God that he preached that God had a plan and a will for my life. And you know, when he was preaching that, I didn't think about all that my dad didn't do. My dad was not a communicator. I've told you that. I can count on my hands the times that we even had conversations. But you can't go through life thinking, you know, my dad did this wrong, my mom did this wrong, you know, I didn't have a dad. And guys, the Lord is all sufficient. And I consecrated my life to him because I was overjoyed to be going to heaven. And then when he told me I had a life, that God had a plan for my life, I thought that was me, just a long-haired hippie that deserved to go to hell. God loved me so much that he had a plan for me. And I believed him. I believed that book. And buddy, he's been so good to me. And I want to tell you something. That lady that's sitting there that we just celebrated 46 years of marriage, I love her way more today than the day I married her. And I was in love when I married her. And I tell you today, I love Jesus the day I got saved. But I love him so much more. It's a deeper, it's a richer love. As the Father has loved the Son, so has the Son loved you and me. I want to return that love. I don't want to do something because I have to do it, Anna. Buddy, I want him to know that I'll do anything for him. I don't care if it's scrubbing a toilet. I don't care if it's picking up a piece of paper. I don't care if it's passing a gospel tract. I don't care if it's studying a message. It doesn't matter. I want him to know I am glad to do it because I love him. He died for me. He gave everything up for me so I could be saved. I have an example of the greatest love that there is. The love, Lord had that love for me. We should have that kind of love for our wives. We should have that kind of love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. He says this, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Once again, God lays down demands, doesn't he? I mean, people say, okay, America says everybody is equal. Well, there's no truth in that. Amen. There's no way we're anywhere near as equal. Amen? I mean, some people got brains and some people just have gray matter. Some people have abilities. Some people have no abilities. Is that true or false?
True.
Well, the Lord says, am I reading it right? Ye are my friends if... ye do whatsoever I command you. So you don't do what the Lord says to do. What's the Lord say? You're not my friend. I didn't say that. He said that. You cannot be his disciple if you don't pick up that cross. But what I am trying to magnify is that the love he has bestowed upon us, we should give that love back out of a willing and a loving heart. We had, Miss Keene and I enjoyed a blessing. We saw one of our kids, and they took the time to thank Mom and I for the way that we raised them and what we trained them. And And this is what they said. They said, you know, it took me until I got into my 30s and had my own children to realize what you and Dad did for us. And with tears in their eyes, they said how thankful they are. Now, it just takes some people a little bit longer, right? But you should, all the love that he has bestowed upon us, we should requite that. We should give that love back by the grace of God. You know what I think? I think I'll stop right there. The Lord is a jealous God. Some guy flirts with your wife, Timothy, starts putting his hands on her. The Lord's jealous. He bought you. He paid for you. You are his bride. He doesn't want you whoring around. He doesn't want you flirting around. He wants your love wholly given to him. Amen. Let's pray.